Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is going to
come. What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the Lord.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do? About 30 minutes in our seconds, but
I will be with you for the duration of this program. And we're going to now go on into a live program that's already in progression. And our key scripture tonight is Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him, or for them, I'm sorry, in the inn. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 2 and 7, the New Revised Version of Scripture. All right, our second key scripture on tonight. So they cried, Hosanna in the highest. That was Mark 11 and 10. Yet in a few days later, the shouts of the crowd became, Crucify him. That's coming out of the same law of Mark 15 and 13. Hallelujah. I want you to get your iPods out and your pens, your paper, and your nooks, and everything digital, and get your comfortable seat, get your pillow to position your posture, and just allow me to bring you the divine word of God as I know it to be. And our title on tonight is Birth, the Cross, and the Crown. And we're going to go back and talk about a little bit about Mary, the mother of the Savior. And since becoming a mother, hallelujah, you know, we can relate to the story of Jesus. And we know that there are also Christmas story in Luke. And with a new understanding of God's great gift, I am impressed. Not only with the enormity of this gift, but with the beautiful way that it was given. Jesus, the Savior of us all, is born in a dirty stable to a young girl. Not a beautiful beginning, not much fanfare. But after Jesus' birth, Mary, little more than a child herself, is entrusted along with Joseph with caring for Jesus. I can only begin to imagine her nervousness. New parents always face doubts and fears. These two were parents of the Savior of the world. What an awesome responsibility. However, we know that every child born is an enormous responsibility as well as a gift from God. Jesus' birth, hallelujah, is a simple stable remind me that every child born into this world has amazing potential. Greatness is born among us in the likeliest of places. And as I and you celebrate the birth of the Savior child, hallelujah, I am reminded to honor him in all of my ways. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we also know that in the law of Zechariah, 9:9, it says, Behold, our king is coming to you. He is just as having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. And I am told that more than 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, Pontius Pilate commanded that a place card be placed on the cross that read, Jesus of Nazareth, the kings of the Jews. Perhaps Pilate sought to introduce fear among the people and discourage them from crowning their own king. We know that King of the Jews was an original thought at the time. Perhaps it had been introduced when the wise men asked, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? That scripture reading is coming out of Matthew 2 and 2. They had sought the fulfillment of this promise. For unto us a child is born, the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Isaiah 9 and 6. They believed Jesus was this child. Later when Christ was crucified, some jeered, If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. That scripture scripture reading can be found in the law of Matthew 27 and 40. They wanted to see if Jesus really was king, but Jesus did not come down. The true meaning of the cross is that Christ died for our sins. That scripture reading is coming out of law, 1 Corinthians 15 and 3. He who paid the penalty for our sins has made God's forgiveness possible. And those who accept God's forgiveness and ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior and Lord can have only one appropriate response. It's to serve Him. He is King of our lives. Hallelujah. King of my life. I crown thee now. Thine should be glory. Lest I forget thy thorns crowded brow. Lead me to Calvary. We know that Jesus is King of our lives, so we must serve Him all of our lives. Hallelujah. And we know that Jesus presented Himself to Israel as their king when He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Had He been astride a spiritual heart, He would have looked more kingly, but Zacharias has prophesied that He would come in the humble way that He did. While King Elise rode donkeys, went on errands of peace, the horse was used as a charger in war. We know that the multitude thought in terms of earthly prosperity and freedom from Rome. So they cried, Hosanna in the highest. That scripture reading can be found again in the law of Mark 11 and 10. Yet just a few days later, the shouts of the crowd became, crucify Him. Hallelujah. That's coming from the same law of Mark 15 and 13. Some who declared themselves admirers of Jesus do not recognize Him as the Savior of sinners. But our deepest need cannot be met until our sin's problem is overcome. For this reason, Christ rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, with His face set forward to the cross, knowing full well the shameful and painful death He would suffer there. Now, having paid the price for human sins, He is highly exalted at God's right hand and will come again as King of kings and Lord of lords. His cross had to precede His crown. If we want to be part of His heavenly kingdom, we must trust Him as our Savior. And we know that if in heaven's a crown you wear and bright palms of victory bear, Christ the Savior must claim, find redemption in His name. There would be no crown wearers in heaven had Christ not been the crown bearer on earth. Hallelujah, Jesus. And despite much debate and discussion, some scholars have not reached a conclusive and census on the meaning of the glorious Messiah. Some suggest that Israel envisioned some living monarch when he penned these words. Others have proposed that he had in mind the occasion of a coronation. Still others think he clearly envisioned some distant divine event. This debate withstanding, the Christian clutch reads this passage and see in the gift of God's love in Jesus Christ, God's pledge of hope to His children. The Christian hope is guaranteed by Christ's life and His death and His resurrection. This passage teaches us that the Christian's hope is not in vain. In these verses, we see the fulfillment of the hope. Where darkness once dominated, light spring forth. Where death had dominion, life come forth. Where no hope existed, hope now appears. In contrast to wishful thinking, Christian hope is true hope. It is hope founded on God's strength and character. He can never fail, and He is faithful to His promise. Apart from God, we have no hope, but with God, all things are possible. We find out that the Christian hope is sure in Isaiah 91 through 7. Isaiah writes in the past tense. He writes, It's as though the future has already happened. His confidence in God allowed him to place the light of future hope in immediate proximity to the agony of present darkness. Not because it would happen immediately, but because it was immediate evidence to the eyes of his faith. He experienced faith as the writer of Hebrews perceived it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Those of us who hope is in Christ and are living in darkness of this world, walking in darkness of this world, in problems and trials and tribulations, we can see light ahead and sustained by hope. For as certain as the dawning of a new day brings forth light that drives away darkness, so does the birth of the Christ child drive away the darkness of despair. Hallelujah. And our sermon on tonight has been birth / the cross and the crown. And before ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to inject your spirit and impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing to you in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you are most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God's House of Deliverance, Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we meet again across these skyways and highways, you're most certainly encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We will now change the dynamics of this program. We will now bring unto you Hymns of Zion to bring encouragement and to uplift your spirit. May God bless you till we meet again. Bye for now.
I The one for whom all things were created, and for his pleasure.